There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Remember, we're streaming online at fmtalk1065.com, also the TuneIn radio app, and of course all the podcasts. You can get 54 hours a week of live local programming coming from right here at Airport and 65. So those podcasts up and waiting for you. Hopefully you subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn Radio, Spotify, these or any of those platforms to get our podcast there. And y'all did a lot of that in 2020. So big thank you to you on that. All right. I mentioned as we went into the news, we'd be joined by Mayor Spanish Fort, and Mayor Mike McMillan is joining us now to talk about a story that is a big dang deal wherever you are, but I got to imagine it's magnified in Spanish Fort as well. Mayor McMillan, thanks for your time.
Well, thank you, sir. Pleasure to be here.
Amazon, and I knew it. I just knew it that the volume of ordering my wife has done over the last year online would pay dividends right here at home, and it obviously has. She's ordered enough stuff through Amazon that we now got a – this isn't even sortation, right? It's a distribution facility.
It is, and we must have the same wife, Sean, because they've been delivering right regular to my house also.
So we did our part to get them here. Our families did. So explain this. I mean, Amazon planning to build a $45 million distribution facility in Spanish Fort. Tell us where and kind of walk us through what a distribution facility is.
Well, it will be located at the town center where the Bass Pro Shop is located. It will be at the far eastern end of Bass Pro Drive. Okay. Which is really where the road ends down there. We were fortunate enough, they came to us and we talked about it and tried to come up with a way to make it happen. We'll have to do some things with our planning commission, add a new zoning classification for a business zone. But these are all positive things, a great addition to our city.
So a distribution center, like I know that in the past we talked about sortation center for Mobile County. So help educate me here.
Okay, this distribution center is what they consider the last point of delivery. The big facility in Mobile is a big warehouse where everything comes, and then they send it out to the localized delivery areas. This is one of those. They basically take these centers and put in a 45-minute circumference area, and that's their zone. These are this is the point, the warehouse distribution, where those blue vans come out of that go to your house.
Okay, so they pull in, they're loaded with the packages that are going to wherever, to your house, to my house, and off they go.
Correct.
So 115 full-time jobs coming with this. That's a lot of packages in that 45-minute area.
Well, like you said earlier, a lot of people buy from Amazon at this point. There's no doubt about that. A lot of delivery. And you take a 45 window from here, you're going into, Gulf Shores, Mobile, Pensacola. It's a big area.
So that's going to be people pulling in there, those blue vans pull in there and then pull out. So you got to, got to get into this part of the conversation too. There's been a lot of time right there where you're talking about at Bass Pro Shops and up at the container fort and all that. How's the traffic? You talk about the planning. How do you get traffic in and out of there?
Well, I'll tell you, Amazon is a big company, and it's because of the way they operate. They recognize situations, and they come up with plans to handle it. What their plan is for this particular facility is the big trucks coming in from the big distribution centers will come in from 8 o'clock at night to 3 or 4 in the morning, so you're missing that peak time. The delivery vans, they'll take it into the facility, then they're sorted, and then they'll load the delivery vans. The delivery vans will not leave till 9 o'clock in the morning, and we'll be staggered out from through the rest of the day. So you're missing those peak times. So there is a plan for handling the traffic issues that potentially be there.
What's the timeline? I mean, I know this is sensitive stuff on builds, but I mean, you got to talk to, like, from when y'all go do that, elected officials, y'all go do groundbreakings where you have those chrome-plated shovels and the big ribbons and all that stuff. From when y'all do that to the time those trucks are rolling out, what's your best guess?
About a year is what they're projecting at this point. They hope to break ground in the latter part of spring of this year and hope to be open in April of 22.
Okay, so it's a year from then to be open. What about people? You talk about these jobs here, and I look at the story, the full-time jobs associated with it. Is there going to be like a hiring fair, or do you know anything about that? How people?
No, I really don't. I know they've already posted some jobs online on the Amazon site for this particular facility, but I would imagine it's all going to be done online, and then perhaps some fairs. I'm not sure how they're going to handle that.
Now, what about this effect here? I got to think, if something this big goes in, a distribution center, and it goes in, is there more available real estate there around where it's going to be? Are you full now at the town center?
Oh, no, we're not full. This particular site is a 24-acre site. The building itself will be 2 to 3 acres. The rest will be parking and facilities and things like that. So there's still another 200 acres over there that are available for development.
Yeah, I got to imagine. I mean, these things, you know, we talk about on Mobile side, you know, we talked about with Airbus, and then, okay, here comes Airbus, and then the people that supply, probably some ancillary companies where people just want to be near that kind of facility.
Well, it certainly has a snowball effect. It will bring more business in. It will help support the businesses that are there, like the container park you were speaking of. You know, they're going to have somewhere to eat and places like that. So those places do well. You're creating traffic in a town center that honestly has been underperforming, and then this will help move it forward.
Yeah, I got to say, it seems like a big shot in the backside here for that to have this coming in. I want to pull back curtains for a second. You can stop me when I, you know, go over the line, because I do.
Okay.
But, like, I'm intrigued about this stuff. When a big company like Amazon, and this is interesting because usually we're talking about some kind of industrial or build when it's come to our area. This is different, kind of a retail side of it. When they start looking for places, are they basing it on the fact that we have I-10 or we have I-65, or are they basing it, like in this case you said, that people are just ordering enough stuff in that 45-minute window, that area?
Well, I think it's a combination of everything you just said. Certainly location, the proximity to the interstate, and I-65, Highway 90, 31, all those things are a positive, and Highway 98. Plus, you look at the area, as we mentioned earlier, a lot of people buying from Amazon at this point. So they look for a distribution center that was somewhat centralized that they could move product in the most effective way. That's why they're the giant they are.
That's for sure. So a lot of text here. John's asking, what will starting pay begin at?
Mm-hmm. I think for warehouse facility workers, they're looking at about $15 an hour plus the benefits.
Okay. So, but those 115 jobs you're talking about, those were full-time, 40-hour weeks, right?
That's what they're telling us, yes, sir.
All right. So, but to look for those jobs, there's a lot of people asking, to look for those jobs, Amazon is posting them. It's not coming through the city. It's Amazon posting it.
Correct. It will be through an Amazon site.
And April 2022 is when the packages will be leaving, going to your house and my house out of that facility.
Yes, sir. We're hoping that's the case.
Very good. Exciting news for Spanish Fort, for sure. It's a big story.
It's certainly a plus. You know, Amazon's one of those companies that you want to have in your community, and we're looking forward to the partnership.
Yeah, I mean, it is different, Mayor, because quite often, you know, it depends on what city around here, kind of what you favor. And for a long time, the story was, I mean, it was industry, right? It was whether it was the chemical plants for a long time, or building things, or what happens at Brookley, or those kind of things. It is interesting to get in these different kind of discussions that are retail. They're not, you know, I mean, they're not that heavy industry.
Yeah, we all know the history of Mobile and Brooklyn, what it did to the city back in the 60s when it went away, and then, of course, the paper mill industry and all those things. You know, it's ever-evolving, and you got to be willing to adapt to what is currently being done.
Yeah, obviously, y'all were the right place for this facility, so congratulations to Spanish Fort on this.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate you.
All right. There he is, Mayor of Spanish Fort, Mike McMillan. So a little update on that story that you heard of this morning. It's a thing. And April of 22, looks like, when those blue vehicles will be rolling out. And hearing how they're going to stagger when they leave for traffic, that's good. Obviously, they were ahead of way ahead of me on that. All right. Coming right back. We'll grab some phone calls next on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I know we have a lot of things to talk about here, and I don't want to get distracted, but I have become distracted with the news update there from Devin. Devin's out now. She's out of the news. Hey, Devin, what's up? So Devin Walsh, I'm talking about with WKRG. But they said this armed robbery from this morning. Mobile police, according to KRG, said Mobile police confirm an armed robbery took place outside of the gas station. Waiting for another update. Police, okay, here's the original story. Police are investigating activity reported near a Brinks security truck parked at a gas station. It's happening at the Chevron station on Higgins Road near DIP. It's an active scene. This was this morning. All right, so a couple questions here. First of all, are they supposed to stop? I guess if they were collecting money from, I mean, right, the Brinks truck would stop somewhere where, maybe they're collecting money from the gas station. Maybe that's what it was. Because I don't think they're supposed to, like, stop, like, to get gas and stuff. Right, if you get the money truck, you just go to the bank or go to the place that you're getting the cash and then you move on, I think. I don't know. I'm not an expert in this. But something that stood out to me is the discussion of the sound of the gun. Can we go? Okay, let's go this. This is the report as it ran on WKRG.com. They throw it to Megan Mackey, right? So let's go to the scene and hear from Megan Mackey.
Well, Devin, police tell us that the driver was held at gunpoint, but a nearby witness tells us they actually heard shots ring out from what sounded like an AR-style rifle.
They heard shot. So the driver, the Brinks person, held a gunpoint. Okay, you have an eyewitness. There's a person has a gun. They pointed at somebody. That's a. If they saw that, we got video of that. That's a fact, right? They sounded like they came from an AR. Is it because of the report, or is it because of the number of shots? I'm left scratching my head here. You know, I can often get close on the caliber of, I say close, not specific, but like I can tell you whether that was a 22 or a 30-06, right? But somebody heard a shot or shots and then said that sounded like an AR. Why would it have a... I'm just, like that, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, but it's one of those things I hear and I go, it's what? Now, you can report anything if you have an eyewitness said. You don't have to say whether it's right or not. So, it just... Maybe we'll learn more on this story, and then I'll understand how a person said they heard. I mean, because there's lots of different style guns that can shoot fast, right? Semi-autos, as fast as somebody can pull a trigger. If that's what they're talking about. Or they meet an AR, right? Right, so we're talking about a modern sporting rifle, a semi-automatic rifle, which of in the semi-automatic world, they're... Many, many semi-automatic rifles out there that aren't ARs. So I hate to be that guy. But I have to when I hear things like that. All right, so there it is. I just was trying to figure that out. Maybe we'll find out more information down the road on that story. All right, to the phone lines and text line at 343-0106. What? David says, so you probably own zero guns, but you're really good at distinguishing different types of firearm sounds. David, what have I always said? I own between 0 and 500 guns. It may be zero. It may be zero. I said, I don't even know. I don't even know what end, you know, what end of it you load the musket ball in. Maybe. Scotty says, come on, Sean, they must have sounded extra scary. That's right. I mean, listen, if they saw somebody with an AR shooting at somebody and you reported that, that's solid. That's factual. I wouldn't be against that. That's a thing, right? They had a, you know, but saying they heard something, how does it sound like the AR rifle? Yeah, Mark, I don't know. Mark says, was it pow pow or pew pew? I don't know. Really, Mark, they did not get into that. They did not give me details here. It's the dumbest thing I've heard. Buddy Jay says, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Sounded like an AR. Thank you. Oh, at least I'm not the only one maybe scratching my head on that one. But maybe we'll find something out here that completely settles it for us. That we'll know. Look, like I said, this is not like protecting an AR. If there's a video of some dirtbag with an AR knocking over Brinks truck, I'd say, well, look, there's an AR. Because that's a... It sounded like an AR. What caliber? I mean, they're not always... I may have heard that generally you're talking about 223, right? You know, but you could have an upper... What if they were shooting like a 300 blackout and they're doing it suppressed with a 300 blackout upper with a lower... Now, but I don't know anything about guns, like David said. I probably don't... Not into that stuff. All right, this is good. It's got a life. This story is going to make its own gravy, Dalton. Eric says, so the 223 has a different sound coming from an AR versus a Mini 14. Mini 14 is one I pictured. Of course, you can get 223, you know, in a... Do they offer the BAR in a 223? There's multiple semi-automatic rifles that can shoot a 223. Let alone you could have a rifle that... You could have a platform that... modern sporting rifle platform that's shooting 22, shooting rimfire. Just so Johnny Cash on the text line said, it sounded like a fully semi-automatic musket. Kind of like the gunfire reported at Midtown. That's fireworks. You know, we got in that conversation the other day, and I was talking to somebody here who was new, and I said, listen, I have done so many shows over the years about the people shooting in the air for New Year's and the rank stupidity of shooting something into the air like that. And then I recounted, you know, with what the velocity would be. All I know is re-roofing a house in Midtown as a kid and taking off the shingles there, and we're getting down to the plywood, right? You get the plywood, then you go felt paper, and then you go shingles. So we're tearing that stuff up. We're re-roofing. And then replacing, I think we had to replace some of the plywood where it was rotten. But we found the bullet embedded in the plywood. So it had gone through the shingles, and it had gone through, it didn't go clean through, to put it in my parlance, it didn't go clean through the plywood, but it went enough that it had pierced through and there were splinters coming out on the other side holding the bullet in place. Those stories are, you know, I don't know if it's, okay, we're going to turn this into gun talk, which we could later on in the hour. I want to go back to a conversation we had last hour and talking to Dr. Chavers from Mobile County Health Department. And Grant said, do you remember the death boards people talked about and scared under Obama about government health care, and they pick and choose who lives and dies? Sounds familiar today with the current situation. Papers, please. Well, it does. I don't know. And Grant, I agree when you start deciding who's going to get the vaccine and who's not going to get the vaccine. But in this case, Grant, I don't know of another way. And if you have, you know, the debate was, does it go to older folks or does it go to frontline healthcare workers? I think they make a pretty decent argument that frontline healthcare workers need to get it so they can keep working and take care of everybody. But I do get the, like, I would, you know, do you want your elderly relative to have it more than somebody you don't know who's a frontline healthcare worker? Well, my heart tells me I want my family member to have it, but my mind tells me it's frontline healthcare worker. We're going to be in this debate about who gets the vaccine and when. And think about that. I appreciate the candid nature of the response from Dr. Chavers, too, who said they were going to make it for that 1B group for the vaccine was going to be 65 and up. Then they realized that how many doses of the vaccine that would mean, and they couldn't fulfill it, so they changed it and went to the 75 and up. It's not, not what I want to hear, but it's truth, and so there it is, kind of what I want to hear. All right, coming back, we'll grab some calls and go back into, it's like a gun talk going on.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, all right. 135 FM Talk 106.5. Program note. Note of programming. How about this? Y'all, here's what's happening. Here's what's happening tomorrow. So, taking the show on the road, going out to Ed's, which, by the way, I should have said something to Bear McMillan that I'd be in Spanish Fort, right? The big Spanish Fort land grab of the, what was that, the 90s? When did that happen? Remember the, who was going to have the causeway and all that discussion? And wasn't it like a, and Spanish Fort was doing police jurisdiction there? And remember, because I had my truck broken into on the, not the first, second time, no, first time out of two, had my truck broken into at the launch on the causeway over the decades. I think it was Spanish Fort, but it was police jurisdiction, not the city, and then they took it, I don't know. So we'll be, I know by tomorrow, I know tomorrow for sure. It will be Spanish Fort. We'll be at Ed's Seafood Shed, and I'll be there along with, hopefully get to see Panini Pete and the crew there, and also the Scuttlebutt Boys, so Tom and Cal will be there. So we'll do Midday Mobile from noon to 1, and then Scuttlebutt from 1 to 2, because Scuttlebutt schedules move with Auburn basketball tomorrow night. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. We'll be out there hanging out, eating some lunch, checking the view out. Eric asked, am I going to have some swag? Yeah. I'm bringing... I'm going to bring, what do we got? We got the new run of huggers. So we have those. And let's see. I may bring that, one of those signs we looked at in the meeting this morning. I may bring one of those out there. That's a, it's a real cool thing. I can't tell you yet because I get in trouble with Bill Finch, but it's a very cool thing. I'll bring those, some huggers. Yeah, we got some other goodies. Some FM Talk 106.5 logo stuff. I got to see if I have any more of the fishing team t-shirts, because I think Eric was asking about t-shirts. I got to look at that. We got to get a new run of those too. Get ready for fishing photo contest for the spring. So I will stop by, find me. I will have some logoed stuff with me in the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit. So we're there from noon to 2, Midday Mobile for the first hour, Scuttlebutt for the second hour. We're at Ed's tomorrow with the show. So there's the programming note. All right. Oh my gosh. Let's see. This is a, if y'all would, I can't do it. Right now I'm being tempted into just talking about different rifle builds. We can't. We'll do that on another show. I'm going to do that on the podcast coming up. We'll do like a all rifle build. What I would imagine you might do if you build out a rifle, we'd do that. All right. I was looking at kind of the Georgia thing, right, that you heard, of course, they talked about this morning Dan and Dalton did, and then Jeff, of course, on his show. Let me look at like 5 headlines here from Drudge. Five headlines. These are the first headlines. Number one, Trump refers to Kelly Loeffler as Karen. So I guess President Trump, but they write headline. Trump refers to Kelly Loeffler as Karen. Not to play whataboutism, because I think it's a statement on both people that ran for office in this year. But you're going to compare that to Joe Biden with having people's names, right? I think it's an old person thing. It just not. Either forgetting the name or saying, you know what, I'm at a point in my life, if I make some kind of sounds that kind of sound like that person's name, that's good enough for me. All right, second headline. Early voting numbers put Republicans on edge. Okay. Third headline. Spending. Here's the one that gets my attention. Here's the mercenary in it. Spending tops $833 million in the Georgia runoffs. Dalton, did you see that? $833 million in the advertising for the Georgia runoffs. What is, when you look at what it costs to be elected president, remember, I mean, we talked about this going into the, was it in the 14 cycle, that you needed really to spend upwards of $500 million, that a presidential race is $1 billion-plus venture out there for the spending that happens. What? Why is it worth that? I do know why it's worth it, but I mean, we talk about the money in politics. I mean, that much money would be leveraged to get into that office. So, it, so then you take away, okay, it's a billion, which in Washington is nothing. You print that in about 35 seconds when you roll out your CARES Act stuff. But the $1 billion plus venture for presidential campaign. Now we bring it, this is not a combination of the primary, the general, this is specifically in the runoff. $833 million in the Georgia runoffs. Now, am I jealous of the fact that we couldn't convince anybody they needed to spend advertising dollars in Alabama for a Georgia runoff? Sure. But it was just, it stood out to me. That number is, for a runoff election. All right, then there's another story. U.S. Postal Service says delays could hit Georgia military and overseas ballots. Oh no. We're going to be counting these. This won't be, if this is not solved by tonight or tomorrow, you got to be kidding me. We'll be putting layers of bad upon bad. And then this last of the top five headlines, so we can dig into some of these stories. Biden. So President-elect Biden says $2,000. This is where we are. Biden says $2,000 checks to go out the door immediately if Democrats win in Georgia. Was it de Tocqueville? Talked about our American system. And something to do with when people started voting themselves money out of the Treasury, the Republic would fail. And that's a horrible paraphrase of what de Tocqueville said. This is the problem with popular. And I know there's people. And listen, if you want to disagree with, I mean, that's what we're all about. And disagreement moves to the front of the line. And people get mad when I question President Trump over the years. I talked about all the great things I thought President Trump was doing. But some of the things that just rubbed me the wrong way as a fiscal conservative is the some of these populist measures. They're populism's there because it's popular. I get it. I'm like, I don't have the popular opinion. I think I have the right opinion and the conservative opinion fiscally here. But here's the headline story from McClatchy. President-elect Joe Biden said Americans will get $2,000 stimulus checks if Democrats win both Georgia runoffs. Now, we can go through how this is accurate. What he's saying is that, Mitch McConnell's the block. I'm sure it says in the story, Mitch McConnell's the block. And if Mitch McConnell doesn't have a majority in the Senate, then it'll be moved to 2,000, the same way President Trump asked for it to be 2,000, not 600. But here's the story. It says, during a Monday rally in Atlanta, Biden said the payments would go out the door immediately if John Ossoff and Reverend Raphael Warnock win the state's U.S. Senate seats, saying their victories would put an end to the block in Washington approving the $2,000 payments. Does it, I ask this like I don't know, does it boil down to just that? Or would there actually be people in the United States that would vote differently to just get, to get for a $1,400 swing? That they, you're telling me there are people in Georgia that were going, well, vote for the Republicans in this. Oh, wait a second. If I vote for Perdue or Loeffler, I won't get that $1,400, so I'm going to vote for Ossoff or Warnock. What? I know they will do it. It's just, but do you understand when it's just said that way? What that looks like? Why isn't the next politician come in and say, I'll tell you what, heck with them. You vote for my party, we're going to get you $6,000 checks. Every one of you. Oh, yeah? What about $10,000 for you and your children? You know, you've sent $40,000 heading to your house right now. Where does it end? I asked this question a bunch last week. I asked it of outgoing Congressman Byrne when I had him on the show before this last weekend when he's now ex-Congressman Byrne. What is this number based on? And he told me it's just based on a number that they thought up from the first CARES Act. $600, $1,200, $2,000 are all just a number that people arrived at in Washington. It's not indexed for any kind of average income. It's not indexed for where people live or if they lost money during the pandemic or they lost their job. It's just a number. Now, is there a politician who would dare get out and say that? No, because people, he doesn't care about me. And that, no, But when do you stop asking the question that is it? What I mean, if we're battling over $600 versus $1,200 versus $2,000, then why isn't it? Why isn't it $10,000? Hell, and make it, you know, make it 20. I mean, all right. We'll do news accounts of what gunshots sound like they came out of, and then we'll be back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right. 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. By the way, who asked that? It was early in the show. It can go ahead and answer for everybody. No. So, because we had, right after I had gotten done talking to Jeff Porras, his show was over. So Jeff's going to be out the rest of this week because they're having their first child. Well, really, his wife's having the first child, and then he's going to be there to be in trouble. So somebody said, well, with the new addition to the Orwig family, Dalton, who they are now definitely running they can run man-to-man now. If they go one more child, you got to go into zone defense. So Dalton and the new addition, and he said, Jeff, with the new addition, did I have anything to announce? Yeah, I have something to announce. I got two kids. That's the way. It's Jesse. Anything you want to tell us, Sean? Jesse, no. I'm good. If we had to move to a zone defense on our children, I would have to just tell one of the children, I'm sorry. I got a friend of mine, good friend of mine. He has five children. And we've been at the park together with our children playing. And actually, at that point, my daughter wasn't even there. I just had one of the children. He had his five. And I said, what happened? Because one of them was running out of the little park we were in and running towards the street, and he told him not to do it. He said, you know, you can't save them all at one time. Sometimes. So you got five of them. Sometimes you just got to say, you know, listen, I'm not going to be able to chase you down. So if you want to run out in the road, it's a choice you're made. It's a funny conversation to have with a three-year-old, but it's a conversation. All right. It's okay to, people talking about this. Okay, first of all, before we get into that, let me just give Scotty a nod of the cap. Scotty said, oh yeah, it sounds like those thieves stole about $3,000 and left in a truck that sounds like a Ford with tires that sound awful lot like Goodyear, but could be Bridgestones. We ought to put that in with the AR sound. Although, listen, Scotty, I got a buddy. I don't know if he can look at him at a distance. He's like a tire savant, one of my best friends. He's like a tire savant. He could just ride by, like, say, oh, well, that guy's running these, and they're 265s, and they're this. I'm like, he was going 70, and you pull up next to the truck at the gas station, and it's exactly what they were running. So, Scotty, maybe somebody could do that. Okay, this texter said, it's okay to buy votes from groups like churches, so why is it not okay to get people to vote for money? It's not okay on either round, but I would say it's legal. It's legal to give money to churches because that's the way the law. It is legal. Also, we're not talking about good. Let's talk about legal. Both things are legal. What Biden said is legal. Okay? And what you say, hey, you can't pay the person individually for the vote. We're talking about the story out of Choctaw County this texter is talking about that happened back when Secretary of State John Merrill said it's not morally advisable, and I'm paraphrasing there, but it's legal. It's legal. There's all kinds of things that are legal. There's that I don't think are good ideas. I fight for things all the time on the idea of liberty, not because I like the thing, but people have the liberty to do it. But it is a bad game plan. That's the problem with populism. It is a bad game plan because long term, who does? Listen, if I stay in my heart, then yeah, I want send me $10,000. Send me as much money as you can. But if I go in my mind, what's right for what is morally correct and what's right for a republic, the money should go to people who lost their job because of what government did through no fault of their own. If you didn't lose money, just because you won it doesn't mean you should get it. It's legal to say that. I mean, it's what they do. They promise politicians. It's been the business of Democrats for the longest time. But hey, with the Trump revolution, Republicans got in on it as well. Vote yourself some money. Keith says, vote yourself money is the end. Keith, I think de Tocqueville, and somebody said I was right. Yeah, de Tocqueville, when he said, he was right. Now, how fast we get to that? I mean, are we on a 45-degree angle? Are we on a slow slope? I don't know that. The Supermom says, where are we getting all this money to give away? Are we at our grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren paying this back? Probably. We're probably great-grandchildren level now. And they're probably not pleased with it. I'll tell you one of the things. The easy thing to sit here and say is, hey, we're borrowing all the money from China. Now, any dollar we borrow from China, in my opinion, is one too many dollars. If we borrow a Susan B. Anthony, if we borrow anything, a penny from China, I don't like what that does. Just my personal belief. But it last time I checked, I think it was out of the money borrowed, it was about 7 or 8% we borrowed from China. That's 7 or 8% too much, in my opinion. But who we borrowed the majority from ourselves, and then we go in this the quantitative easing. We're devaluing every dollar that you have in the bank or hidden in a mason jar or in a double-end sealed PVC pipe buried in a bean field somewhere in a northern part of the state. I'm saying that, but I'm just, wherever you might have, your money's being devalued every time that happens. So it may be in the short term. It's a sugar high. You want to drink the sugar drink, but you should drink water. Maybe it's easy to come out and say, hey, everything's fine. Just drink the sugar drink. It's good. Nobody wins elections by saying, well, you probably should temper that, and moderate that and have maybe one of the sugar drinks and then have some waters. Nobody likes that. So Don says, well, Biden just showed us again that Democrat political bribery may cost us yet another election. You know, these things only work, Don, and I agree with you, but they only work when you let it work. You see what I'm saying? It's like, and it gets thrown back at me, not in a bad way. It's something I've talked about. We get the government we deserve, unless you believe that the chicanery gives you another government. But you get the government you deserve. And when you vote to give yourself some money, I understand the temptation there, but that's drinking the sugar. That's not looking past tomorrow. Now, if you lost money because of government shutdowns and all that, I think you absolutely, and I'll fight for you to the nth degree, that you should get the money you lost from what the government did to your business, through no fault of your own or your business or your employer, whatever, absolutely. But just going in, the arbitrary number, once again, it is an arbitrary, I asked Bradley Byrne specifically, did 600 or 2,000 or 1,200, was it indexed to anything? It is not. It's just a number. This is a great question. But two parts from this unnamed texter. It's 2021. Give yourself a nickname or a handle or your real name on there. It said, didn't Perdue and Loeffler also promise to get the $2,000 payment passed? I don't know if they did, but let's say they did. He said, she said, why does Biden have to worry? Because he's saying it more loudly. I don't know. Did they agree to the $2,000? Probably, if they're running for office. And that's a sad statement about the electorate, because they would be speaking to Republicans. And then the next text from that person said, is voting for tax cuts the same thing without cutting services? Yes. Yes. It's why I had my big issues with George Bush. Do I think Junior was a bad dude? No. I think he cared, yeah. But when he increase government programs at the same time of cutting taxes, I was hollering about it. People say, you can't do that. You can't talk bad about the Republican president. You damn right I can, because it's dumb. Jimmy, well said, if there's that much money to give away, then that would indicate that we're being severely overtaxed. And with that, let's wrap it up. Paul Feinbaum Show next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Have a great one.